A boundless reservoir. My name is Chris Norris, and good Friday morning. Here we are, last day of February. March is upon us soon. And I, you know, already looking out the window this morning, and looks like the grass, our grass, is just naturally survives as is. We don't really do much aerating, fertilizing. I know that's probably in some neighborhoods that would maybe be frowned upon. Yeah, we just let it grow here. It always has kind of been interesting, the time and efforts that people spend on their lawn. If you're that type of person, then congratulations. Maybe what is it, the yard of the week or yard of the month? I've seen some neighborhoods where people spend their time and efforts in investing in that type of thing. So if that's what you specialize in, then yeah, that's great. Never have really, I think we've done some aerating. That never really came to much. Maybe I'm just not a specialized. I know my granddaddy, he was meticulous about his yard. And I've referenced him many times and how he kept things up and neat. I think he somewhat probably did rub off on my dad as well. Dad likes to keep things, yeah, neat and in order. So, yeah, come to my house, it's a little different. What's that old commercial? Dave Spivey's yard. I always thought that's been years ago. But anyway, so here we are, and seasons are changing. And time, I think I mentioned time change. That's coming next. But one of the things that I failed to mention, and my apologies to my oldest son, Jace Norris. He serves, as I've said in the past, in the Coast Guard. He's up in New Jersey, Atlantic City, New Jersey now. And just the other day, he received a letter of recognition with an award for his efforts in rescue of another individual. So I was, as you can imagine, as a father, I was proud of my boy. I'm thankful for his life, you know. And again, we would often say that with your children, the variety of ways in which they are all different and they like different things. And I would say, out of my five children now, since we had an addition, she may not like the fact that I called her a child, though. She is a young lady. She's an adult, Miss Emma. Just seeing how the differences of the way they are, you know, one of the things that always fascinated me about Jace was his mind. if you're around him, it's not going to be a dull moment for sure. So I love the vibrance of Jace's life and just how God has continued to work and directing his path. And so love you, Jace. Congratulations, Dad. Mom and Dad are proud of you. And carry on, my son. And so, we come to the end of this week, and business has been slow in the heating and cooling industry. This time of year, usually people don't really have the need, you know, if you're able to open a window or two. Or, I mean, I think we've just like circulated the air in our house these past few days. I think the heat might have kicked on this morning. It got a little colder out. last night. But yeah, but here in the South, you know, it's like things can change. And so when those warmer temperatures do arrive, air conditioning becomes vital. We would say in this area that I've lived in most of my life, I've always stated it can be like armpit weather. Humidity can get brutal in this area. So, yeah, got to have that air conditioning, because things can get impacted very quickly. It's also that's on a side note of that, it's also amazing to see how uncomfortable people get at church when heating or cooling operations have been impacted. You know, not only is the pew not comfortable or the chairs that are available to sit in, and we don't have to sit on the ground in the dirt. I did say that. You know, our environment has to be just right. It's unfortunate that our minds drift in that direction, but that's just how we are as an American culture. So therefore, we've arrived and we've got our needs. Yes, I'm very, very sarcastic this morning. But, you know, I think it's true that in that context, I've stated this, that, you know, we should be able to take our service that we have and be able to do it, you know, under a tree in South America. You know, ultimately, we would say that it's about Christ being magnified and his name being made great. So may we operate under that realm. And sometimes I guess it's difficult with the battling of the flesh and the needs and wants, or not so much needs, but more so wants that we think are necessary for us to function in a worship service. We tend to linger in that alley of thought. Anyway, moving on to more positive things. I do hope and pray that your week was well. I hope that as the weekend does come, and you know, I think even Anna Grace said this morning, you know, she was like, "Can you come get me out early from school today?" As they were leaving, and it's like, "No, not going to be getting you out early." So yeah, I'm sure there's probably lots of excitement either on the child's or adult side. But yeah, I pray that you have a good weekend this weekend, and get some rest. Back in church Sunday, and I've recently done this. If you do not have a church to attend, I would extend the welcome to come visit our church. It's Woodlawn Baptist in Lowell, North Carolina, and that is. You have a few options as far as attending. You can come to our Sunday school hour at 9:45. I think our class is a little later on starting with conversations and such. And then our main worship service is at 11 a.m. So if you do not have a church to attend, or if you're in the Charlotte, Gastonia area, Piedmont, visiting, and you want to attend, we would extend the invitation to Woodlawn Baptist Church there in Lowell, North Carolina. That's this Sunday, so come on out. Back in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, we only read one verse yesterday in chapter 2. We'll conclude chapter 2 here in this passage. A lot here to go through. So let's start in verse 2. "For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of man, but on the power of God. Yet we do speak wisdom among those who are mature, A wisdom, however, not of this age, nor of the rulers of this age, who are passing away, but we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages of our glory, the wisdom which none of the rulers of this age has understood. For if they had understood it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory, but just as it is written, things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard, and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. For to us God revealed them through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. But the natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. But he who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he will instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So Paul recognizes the fact that in the midst of our temporal assignment on earth, that we are wholly dependent upon the Spirit of God. It's for a believer that has placed their faith in Christ and given allegiance to him alone, there is this way and how that we're led, ultimately asking God, the Holy Spirit that dwells within us, to lead and direct us. And I think the importance for us to come to, or the important place that we come to, is to see how this works in reference to when we are reading God's Word specifically. So one of the things that's beneficial for us to understand as believers is that while we do not merely just read the words on the pages of the Bible, that these words are living, these words are accurate, these words are truth. There's no comparison to a book, to some great insight, even commentaries of the Bible, other men that have written things. There is a necessity for the believer to have an individual understanding of God's Word. And what I mean by that is the importance of daily devotion as we study the Word of God and we're led by the Spirit as we read these words. We come to a place to where when we have this time of devotional, and we literally stop everything that we're doing and have the Bible. Now, again, I'm not saying that other resources that help us understand context, history, theological understanding, all these things, they can be resources and benefits, study Bibles. But ultimately, my encouragement has always been this, and this is something that I personally think is it transforms us, our transformation of our thoughts, and it helps us be guided in the moments that we're in, because all of us are individually dealing with things of our own nature. Not to say that anyone's greater or less, but we all face different things on a daily basis. So therefore, this is truth that's poured into us by this working power of God. So the dominant factor is that we come in a time of prayer before we open the Bible. So as one professor said, is that before you preach or teach or whatever you do, you need to just open the Word of God and read that. And read it a couple times. And I think, again, the process, if we function within that process, and there would probably be other recommendations, I'm sure. Some would say you need to start with the commentary first, or you need to start with the study Bible. The importance, of course, for us as believers is not to negate the fact of the necessary means of teaching, preaching, equipping, all those things. But again, the basis for which God is functioning through His Word, by the Spirit of God, that moves in our life. So Paul is basically saying that this is how things are revealed. For us to gravitate towards the mind of God and Him revealing Himself to us through the Spirit of God, through His Word indwelling among us. And, you know, that probably can be somewhat baffling, because usually we want a quick explanation of things, and our minds maybe can't really comprehend all that we read, because some people that I've talked to in the past, they say, you know, I really don't understand what I'm reading in the Bible. And then my concern for that is are you being led of the Spirit, or is this something that you're just trying to do on your own? So a prayer before you read. And then ultimately, your relationship with Christ, you know, and how that is working in your life. So Paul brings us here in chapter 2 and proclaims this principle. You know, Paul was an educated man himself from the world. There was the fact that he was in his Jewish studies and what he knew, right? But what he's implying in chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians is that the Spirit of God and the truths that God reveals surpass even the knowledge of man. And the things that man involves himself in, they will come to some finality. So we have to hold fast to the promise and truth that's found by God's working power in and through the Spirit within us, and rely upon those truths, rely upon the foundational truth of God's Word. And then I think if we do that in those occasions, as what we've referenced in the past, the seasons of life that change and the circumstances that we face from day to day, we're able to go through those things because of what we've been, again, built upon. And what is it that we're asking? We're asking, God, give me wisdom. God, give me direction and understanding for my life, so I can make clear, or not that I can make clear, but that you can clarify what I need from day to day. And in essence, there's a fulfillment there, because we're being completely led by God and not anything of ourselves or other men. Because ultimately, if we're led by other men, there's an end to that. You know, I've often said, mortal man, there's an end to that. Even in the greatness of mankind, and there are some men that have accomplished great things, there are some women that have accomplished great things, and we would look at those accolades and those accomplishments, but in comparison to what God has done by His work through His Son Christ, there's nothing greater, and there's no one greater. And so that's what we lean upon. We lean upon that truth. And I think that, you know, there's a passage in speaking to what we pray, right? And how this comes about in the working. And it's in Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse 18, open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things from your law. So we're literally asking God to take the scales off, right? And for him to reveal greater truths about his direction for our life and greater truth about who he is, so then that way we can withstand this short duration while we're on this earth. Paul is clearly stating that, you know. It's not in verse 5, so that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of man, but on the power of God. You know, the wisdom of man is short. It's fleeting. Mankind will end. The word of God and his power will continue on. So we have to lean upon that. And I think it's very fascinating in our, even in our Christian circles, that there's this, I'm not even going to say resistance, but more so a mentality that, you know, whenever there is a proclamation or a use of scripture, sometimes it's taken the wrong way because there's all these futile expenditures placed upon dissecting or explaining something. And I found that there's it's almost like that's misused, misplaced God's word. You know, because I think that God's word is not limited in his authority in speaking to an individual when they're led by the Spirit of God and having their devotional. Now, there are some things that we say would probably be a little bit more complex and need a deeper explanation. There's no disagreement about that. But I don't think that there is a place for an individual that's a believer in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior to have an occasion to where they say that every text, every passage has to be explained by another man. Now, that may rub some people the wrong way in the context of teachers, preachers, evangelists, professors. Those things are great. And I'm not saying that we do not need those things. But what I am implying is that the necessity for an individual to function in everyday life is grounded on their personal relationship with Christ and how much time they spend in the Word of God. And if we spend our time in anything else, then there's a byproduct of that. Paul is basically telling us to be led by the Spirit of God here in chapter 2. We must accept the things of God. Notice what he says in verse 14. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. So they're viewed and looked at through the lens and filtered by their temporalness. It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense to love your enemies. It doesn't make any sense to turn the cheek. It doesn't make any sense to be long-suffering. It doesn't make any sense to go to church and to observe and worship God on the Sabbath. It doesn't make any sense that you're faithful and committed to the things that you've spoken by the word of your mouth that God has basically given you and can take it away at any time. All these things come together. And when you're led by the Spirit of God, there is a difference that drives your motivations, and therefore there's a reflection of Christ and the Spirit of God working in your life. That's what it's all about. And if there's anything else, and we've done a bad job. I think the importance for us to land in this place as believers, for us to come to this final conclusion of being led and directed by God, And as I've stated from the beginning, there will be things in our life that we face on a daily basis, whether it be things that are very detrimental and can basically, as stated in the past, rock our world, or things as just as having a flat tire. Maybe that could rock your world. Either way, there are seasons of life that we all go through. And as we've went through James, and James says to consider it joy, and the endurance that's proved in those moments where you withstand those times of trial and tribulation or suffering or affliction, I think that's just a truth of life. And if we are led by anything else, temporal man, the wisdom of man, the things of this world, and it seems like a lot of times Christians place more emphasis on those things in the Word of God, then you look around and you start to see why they fall away. And I know that can be a harsh statement. That's just the truth. And their commitment. You know, that's one thing I struggle with in church. Not being judgmental, just being completely real right now, is people place more emphasis on being dedicated to their careers and their jobs and the things that they involve themselves in outside of church than the actual church itself. And that's in preparation for what's to come, for eternity. And Paul is saying to be led by the Spirit of God, invest in the kingdom of God, and the ways of natural man doesn't make sense. But to God be the glory in how he leads us. I pray it be so in our lives. I pray that you would walk in a way that represents the Word of God daily, that you're led by the Spirit of God, and have that time of devotion, the importance of a daily devotion. It is life-changing. A boundless reservoir. My name is Chris Norris, and I look forward to talking to you again soon.